is different kind of...
Sure, that would happen.
excuse me. But marijuana helps on different kind of levels. So, like you said, anxiety, women's health, like women's issues, like there's a large scale where it helps. And then for the cafes, like, we want to be a destination, right? We want to bring more people into town. We want to bring more money, more tourists, more, you know, visits and stuff like that. And, I mean, we have all the Airbnbs to house these folks because that's pretty much all there is here now is Airbnb. So we have enough places to house the folks that will be coming to purchase. And, yeah, I feel like we should be on the train. And if we can be one of the first to say aye, then that would be even better for the village and for our area because, like you did say, we're off the exit. And a lot of traveling goes right through the village to get to either Massachusetts or to wherever you're literally traveling right past here. So, and we're kind of in a crisis, so we could use all the extra money to help put wherever else we need it in the town. So, yep.
Okay, thank you, Mercedes. Sarah?
My name is Sarah. To go off what Mercedes said, lounges are not bars. These aren't rowdy places that there's going to be fights and that sort of thing. So you got to think about it as a complete separate thing. My husband and I, we were talking earlier, we go to a dispensary, what are we going to do? Get back in our car, go back home. If we go to a lounge, we're going to hang out, we're going to shop, we're going to hit every restaurant, who knows, it depends what you're smoking. But it really, to bring jobs, to bring businesses, to help our poor restaurants that still need help, I think lounges are a great idea.
I mean, like I said, to be honest with you, I'm kind of sold on the dispensary thing. So, I mean, I don't need personally a lot of help on that myself, but it's good to hear. The lounge, you know, that's a little different of an area for me, to be honest, because, like you say, in the village, you have Airbnb. So you can come down to the restaurant. You can frequent the lounge. You can walk back to the Airbnb. But again, I'd say it's the same thing with any other establishment. If you get intoxicated, if you're out in the remote areas of town and that happens. But again, if it's not a good business plan, they're not going to locate there anyway, I mean, for the most part. So, you know, that's the entrepreneur's side of the fence. So if they're not going to make money at it, they're not going to open up in that particular site. But, you know, the thing that I want to be careful with, if you do go to the lounge, how do you get home? I mean, that's the big thing.
Do you ask that question of a bar?
Same as with alcohol.
Do you ever ask that question of a bar?
No, but
I don't think we don't. We never ask that question.
I think you're more upscale
than a lounge.
My understanding is a lounge is more upscale than probably any bar in Catskill. So that's just my opinion. But
yeah, and that's a whole new business. You know, Uber, Lyft,
it's an opportunity.
There are 16 Airbnbs on Mossy Hill Road.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Neva Wartell, Catskill Village. One of my, I guess my only concern, I'm certainly have no opposition to either a dispensary or a lounge, but my concern is that the people who are going to be making money, aside from the taxes, the actual vendor, are generally the people who have already made money from this industry elsewhere and have the money to invest. I would like to see it like a startup with somebody local as opposed to, you know, a corporation that's been doing this and will just come in and set up, you know, and make their money, and they have no vested interest in any particular locality, if that's possible.
Yeah, for something like that, especially here in the village, maybe the LDC will get in the middle of that, the local development corporation that the village has, right? Mm-hmm.
And to your point, I think the lounge aspect of the bill or the law, that I think has an opportunity to help the local restaurant owner or property owner. You know, when you talk to dispensaries, that's going to be the corporate person or the person that's already made their money, most likely. But again, I think the lounges, that's an opportunity for somebody that owns property on Main Street that wants to be a little creative. So, I think that's the, you know, one of the upsides to the lounge.
Yeah,
Good. I want to mix it up a little bit. Good. All right. Let's get the guy in the back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm Lester. I live on Route 32 in Gatsville. There's two things that I've sort of heard that I wanted to talk about that where you sort of giving people pause. One was the lounges and my talk sort of the distinction between the town and the village. Where I live is I live right on Route 32. So it's like I often think of that puzzle. I have a copy of that in my basement.
Right. Cool.
As well. But I think about that time in the town, which I didn't live here for. I lived in Taylorville first. I've only been here for about 10 years. But I think that there's a real growth opportunity on a broad scale for the town if it gets in on the ground floor of this sort of thing, and a really good opportunity to be left behind if we don't. There's a really great article that you can sort of just Google and find. I think it's called The Bowl is Half Empty, and it'll tell you all of the, it gives you a map of, an interactive map of all of the towns that have and haven't, or and where their general position is on it. Since Socrates is having this meeting tomorrow. To that end, it tells you where Catskill is really truly is the crossroads of Catskill, particularly off of Route 32. There's a good reason why there's a big sign that says it. The idea that that it should sort of be contained, sort of walking communities, I can see where that'd be attractive. But the Airbnbs have been mentioned. I have one. It's sort of like a lot, because it's there's more space out there, it's like sort of a large immersive space. Like we have 5 acres, people just sort of kind of sink into it, so like having sort of a lounge that they can sort of come away from it and sort of or bring their sort of thing and make our place sort of kind of a lounge is an attractive prospect for whoever might sort of want to get in on that sort of thing. But I think the real thing to consider is the opportunity cost of doing the cost of not doing. A lot of times people think that there's a binary choice between what the options are, but there's usually a third choice, and that's doing nothing. And doing nothing can just as easily step on your heels as doing something. So I'd like for people to sort of weigh the concern of getting in on this thing just as heavily as they weigh the concern of not getting in on this thing. Like from Great Barrington, I've spent quite a lot of money going over there. I saw the last receipt. I shouldn't have given this in Massachusetts $100. I should have given Great Barrington $16 specifically. That was what I looked at my last receipt before I came here and saw. It's not like the only time I'm going to do that. And I don't want to have to do it to Hudson. Hudson has sort of been. Hudson sort of stole Catskill's real rep.
Right. They're sworn to it.
They have sworn to it. But the real mantle of the Catskills is this town, and Hudson sort of gets the rap of being this special little gem. And we don't want to give them any more one more jewel that they could put back.
Thank you.
So, I get the sense that there's something of a consensus. I haven't heard from everybody on the board, consensus that this is a direction that we'll really be missing the train if we don't get on one way or another. One thing that I haven't heard anybody talk about is where is this marijuana coming from? The federal government says it's illegal to ship marijuana across state lines. Well, that's terrific, actually, for Greene County, because it needs to be grown here. And we are an agricultural community. We know how to grow things here. We have the machinery. We have the manpower and the woman power. We have the land. And we have land that's gone fallow for years and years and years because we haven't had a productive crop. And this is something that it's not just about stoners walking into dispensaries and buying a joint because those people don't need to walk into dispensaries and do that, right? First of all, they're growing it themselves already. But second of all, the law makes it
at Catskill.
The law
and there's more going up every day.
The law
that's right. For sure.
The law makes it legal for them to grow up to 3 ounces themselves. That's fine. They can do that. Which, by the way, up until fairly recently, used to be a C felony, getting you more than a year in prison, right? A felony. But now, it's legal for people to do that, and legal for farmers to do that. So, I think we don't need to just think about, do we want a dispensary here or a lounge there? But really, do we want to start employing farmers again to be able to sell a crop that they can support their families with and their children with and stop people leaving Greene County to go to other places?
I don't think we have a say in farms.
We certainly have a say in keeping in Greene County.
Right, but I'm saying
the marijuana that's grown here.
Right, but there's no
opt out.
Right,
that's correct.
Right,
that's right. What we want is to facilitate people in Greene County in the town of Catskill, where there's farmland in the town of Catskill, to keep that. That income here, those people here, and that product here as well. New York State did something really smart, actually, for once, when they decided how much to tax marijuana with, right? They put a 13% tax on it. That keeps on getting chipped away until it gets down to 3% that could, if both the town and the village opt in, could end up with 1.75% for each. It still could be a big number. But California made a real big mistake. They put a 35% tax on it. And now California taxes 20% of the marijuana that's sold in California. 20% of it. 80% is still illicit under the table. So the other thing that we accomplish by putting a lower tax on it and generate an income for the people in Greene County and in the town of Catskill is we eliminate the illicit marijuana trade. We put those guys out of business. And they stop, now that the criminal statutes have changed on marijuana, the people who sell marijuana happily thumb their noses at the police as they're doing that, but there'll be no profit in it for them anymore because they haven't been, the legal trade is not more expensive than what people will be buying on the street. So,
and the legal trade will be pure marijuana. It might not be laced with something that you don't know.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And when you go to the store, you'll know what potency you're actually purchasing,
and
that's important.
It's true. I've been violating federal law. I will be the first one to say by crossing state lines with marijuana. The wonderful thing about it is that you can get something that's very strong, or you can get something that's not very strong. And you can get something that's going to, keep you on the couch, or you can get something that you can walk around with and just feel okay. It's kind of a remarkable thing. So, my name is Dan Arshak. I live in the town of Catskill,
right,
not in the village. And I think that we should welcome this opportunity with open arms, both in terms of dispensaries and lounges.
Okay, thank you. This gentleman here, he hasn't had a chance yet.
From what I saw happening in California, by the way, my name's Daniel. I live in the town of Catskill. What I saw happen in California before I moved here was a lot of people in this business winded up losing their business because of manipulations of the laws. Like, let's say the edibles. A lot of the edible business went down the tubes when they started making it to where you could only have a certain potency. And after that, nobody bought edibles anymore. So, barely. I know I wouldn't.
Strong stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a little piece of sleep.
Basically, as she was saying earlier about business owners, there were local business owners that opened up shop in California. I used to have a medical card and used to go to one. They had two sides of the place, one for flower, one for edibles. But the business owner ended up losing his business because of corrupt games being played out on the business level. If you vote yes or no, but the way it was worded, no on such and such. So maybe the grammar, as these laws are coming out, might be fixed a little bit so we could understand what we're voting for. Not any trickery. No for this. But yes. Yeah. Just if you mean yes, say yes. If no, no means no.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I live in the village. I wanted to just piggyback up on what Nevo was saying. Obviously I have a personal, like, I have a taco and ice cream place. We're going to stay open later. But being serious, there aren't too many small business owners around here that are going to have the money or the time or the whatever to open a dispensary. It's just not, with COVID and everything, that they're all retired. and I think that that's where I would advocate, and not that I would open one, but advocate for the cafes and so on, because it makes it accessible to the small local business owner. It makes them be able to be part of and to benefit, and they're vested and in the community. I would support both, but just to also, I know that you were saying about being on the fence about the cafes, I really think that that gives the average local business owner the opportunity to also be part of, and for those gains to be directly back into the community, the people who care about the community, the people who will use that, like, to benefit the community. And I personally don't know too many, I don't know if I know any small businesses that have the millions of dollars it takes to open a dispensary. I do think that the cafe and allowing them would make it a lot more accessible to the
gentleman in the back.
Hi, my name is Ellie Matos. I live here in the village. I'm fortunate that I lived in Burlington, Vermont, and the Netherlands both for around 8 years. The Dutch government makes around 400 million euro annually just from the coffee shops. So lounges are very important in this industry. And it also provides people a safe space to engage with others who are doing it as well. And there is never, in the Dutch coffee shops since I've lived there, there were never any instances. In fact, 4 large prisons were closed down because the crime was non-existent. The crime that did exist was more like white collar crime or petty, like shoplifting crimes. But I just want to say that it's a viable part of this industry, and I personally know people who are waiting to grow in our county, and there have been, you're going to see a lot of cooperatives happening as well. So I just want to put that out there, and I think it's a very positive thing to think about.
Thanks for sharing with us. Crane?
Crane Davis from Palenville. I've done some research on this in Amsterdam also, and I met the smartest man in Amsterdam. He owns 3 Chinese restaurants, each one located right next to a bar. And he's just doing gangbusters business, because they walk out of that bar and they look and they say, Chinese. That tastes good now. So I understand. You got the ice cream and you got the tacos. They drive business. They much more, because you go home. You buy it at the dispensary, you take it home.
Right.
Here, now, the question of what about these people being on the road, they are now. And I understand.
Can't disagree with that.
But if you look at the data,
yes,
depending on which state you look at, traffic fatalities are up or they're down. And the fact is, they're not much changed from what they were before. So that, you know, you can pick your state and say it's bad or it's not bad, but it looks like it doesn't make much difference at all, basically.
Okay, thank you, Green. Lady in the back.
And a lounge, no one's going to open a lounge where people just go in to smoke pot. They're going to have an activity for them to do. Because, I mean, we could get another movie theater where people serve edibles inside their movie theater. I mean, the bowling alley could switch over. They could start serving edibles and let them smoke pot outside. And then the bowling alley getting more business. You know, nobody's going to let them just come and hang out. We have bars in town. People come, sit, for the purpose of getting drunk and going home. I mean, at least when you go in and smoke pot, people know their limits when it comes to smoking pot. People, they don't know their limits when it comes to alcohol. I mean, it's not going to be like a marijuana bar. It's going to be an actual business, whether it's a cafe or, like I said, like a movie theater or something. They're going to give them an activity to do.
Any other comments? Or?
Yeah, I was just going to say, and for those that are like nay on the cafes, just think of all the bars that are in our town, all the liquor stores that are in our town. There's more liquor stores than there are parks for kids to play at, right? So we have, there'll be way more trouble or danger coming out of a bar than there would ever be coming out of a cafe. You're not gonna, people smoke weed to chill out, to calm down, to relax. It's not gonna cause a lot of drama or chaos or anything like that. And then we're Green County. Green County is a great name to be the capital of the state. We have great land, we have a great name. We could literally be the capital of New York State for marijuana. And if we get a good head start on it, we could be a booming little town. So
I can relate to the bars of Casco. I grew up on Main Street in Leeds, and Sarah will know it's like when I was, there was a bar, maybe a house and another bar. It was good when I became a teenager, but as a young child, to be honest with you, there was a lot of good, and there was, you know, when I was in bed at night, I heard people leaving at 2:00 in the morning, and but that wasn't a pleasant memory, to be honest. And I think that's an alcohol-related thing. I mean, I guess everybody knows a mean drunk or something on those lines. I don't necessarily feel you find that with a cannabis product. So, I mean, I think that could be a difference, but again, I know what the bars scene, unfortunately, looks like. Go ahead.
I don't think cafe is a bad idea. I don't think having seen that way in California or Massachusetts. I mean, I might be a stickler here, but you guys have parking and road lights. The town could use the little tax revenue that it's getting off of it. I mean, I'm sitting there trying to drive from work, and there's hardly any lights. And I work at a Pizza Hut here in town, and let me tell you, people that come in and order are usually smoking. I'm not joking. They're smoking and they're hungry. And I'm sitting there working, and I can smell it. Well, I had
to get hungry.
Yeah, even the old couples are sitting there smoking in the parking lot.
Mostly the old couples.
I didn't say any names.
I work at an animal shelter, and I can tell you that people come in there smoking. It's everywhere. This is literally everywhere. It's not just the restaurant. People want to do this. They're ready to do this. It's the wave and the push of our state right now, and this is where we need to be.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree. I think anybody and everybody that wants to have a product of marijuana, whatever they're into, it's in Catskill. It's in Green County. It's just a matter of where are they going to get that from, and we could be missing the boat, or we would be missing the boat, in my estimation, on the dispensary side, because that's a lot of sales tax revenue. and the social problems that come in with all this, they're going to be here regardless of where they buy that product from. And so I think that's you know, we're going to, like I said, everybody kind of just firsthand here, you work at the animal shelter, you work at Pizza Hut, somebody else worked over here. Everybody's experiencing it throughout the community already. So it's not really a change. It's just going to be more visible to
yes.
everybody. Sarah?
We're also, Catskill is the county seat. We should be leading by example and really, you know, taking the reins and working with other communities mm-hmm. to make it work.
Dorian?
Hunter is ready to pull the trigger. So as soon as there's something to do, Hunter is ready to go. They've got people that are interested. They've gone out and sought customers as a government. Whatever you can do from an economic development perspective in terms of finding people that are interested rather than waiting for them to come, because somebody else is going to grab them. Athens already has a committee together put forward by the town government or the village. So they're researching who's interested, who are the best people to attract, how you can enhance local people to benefit from this so it doesn't cost six figures to get a license. Saugerties is going to be tomorrow. So, you know, we do run the risk of being behind if we don't actively find an association, of which there is one, and I'll be happy to share the address for the state of New York, and everyone's looking for where to land that is a welcoming and an encouraging community. So, otherwise, they will land somewhere else getting off the thruway.
Woodstock is already opening a dispensary. They're having Cannabis Festival on December 11th. It's a couple days away. It's huge. There's so many people talking about it. They're having musicians. They're having speakers come in to talk to people about the benefits of it and the laws.
Well, they don't have a dispensary yet.
Right. They don't have a dispensary, but they might be having a festival with a cannabis theme.
Right.
Where everybody can bring their own and right. smoke and then enjoy it, but they're not.
Yeah.
It's not like the garlic festival. Yeah. But it will be.
Not yet.
In the future, yes.
It'll be well off than the garlic fest.
Anybody else want to be heard or input? I've been.
Could I ask
about gentlemen in the back?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, hi, my name is Justin. I live in Leeds. I just want to say I'm definitely in support of all of the activity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Could I ask what your objection is to a lounge?
I don't really know if I have a one item that I'm objecting to. I just need more information. I just haven't made that decision. I understand the point that it's very helpful to the local community, and that's why that's my driving force of being in favor of a lounge. I just think for me the dispensary is an easy decision, because if you're late to the game, you're out of the, you know, it's done. You know, where it's just like a bar will come, a new restaurant can come. But the big thing is that's the bigger money is those dispensaries. So I think, you know, that's something, if you know, you can't be late to that. If you're late, you're just not going to succeed. They're going to cite in Saugerties or another location. So it's not that I'm against it. It was just an easier decision for me to make on the dispensaries, because like I said, if you're not up front with that, you're never going to catch up.
I would tell you that if I were opening a dispensary someplace, I wouldn't open in a place that didn't have lounges as well, that wasn't welcoming to the industry, that I would be investing millions of dollars in opening a dispensary. And if it was a place that wasn't open to the business in general,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, I'll go across the river to Hudson. I'll go to Saugerties. I'll go to Athens.
Mm-hmm.
I think we either do this or we don't.
Right.
I think if we jump in the deep end, do it right, get people who know how to do it.
Geographically, in my estimation, we're in one of the best spots in Greene County.
That's right.
Exactly.
And mainly because
the
New York State Thruway is right there.
Yes.
You know, the Thruway, that's the gateway to Greene County.
That's right.
There's no, you know, or Saugerties is another exit, obviously, because a lot of people come up, you know, get off that Club 32, but you know, the old the Winston Farm.
It could give a whole new meaning to the Casco Welcome Center.
I'm going to point out that the people who come up from Saugerties and go up through the Grove are passing through Palinville. So there might be room for something in Palinville to serve that market that's going up there.
Ace of Buds.
Going right, well, Ace of Buds is it.
You mean Storch. That's going to be a Storch. Storch. You're going to have a nice new Storch at the Ace of Buds.
I like that idea.
Any final questions?
Yeah, I don't understand the timeline and opting in and opting out. Like, why do we have to? I mean, it's important that we all make a decision probably before to get on the boat, kind of so to speak. But I don't understand who's making this.
State of New York.
The state of New York came. You know, they if you're silent, nothing happens.
Okay.
By
December 31st.
Correct.
Right.
Right, and then the next day,
you're in.
Oh, so what about, like, say Athens is going to be loud and screaming, like, before that date we want in? I mean, what's the plus of saying we're going to do it now? I mean, we want to do it, all of it.
There is no plus. So either you pass a resolution that says you're against it, or you do nothing and you're in.
Right, but then it becomes the same. Then you got to market yourself a little bit, saying, "Hey, we are open for this business." I mean, and once the first of the year comes, they'll know who's open for business and who's not. But again, I understand your thought process. If everybody knew that on say July 1st we were in, I guess you could start promoting that.
Exactly.
But then that timeline. I mean, then we would have that's already over the dam. You'd have but most towns aren't. I don't want to say most because I don't know that that's true or not, but I see a lot of area towns are just expiring and opting in instead of, not too many towns that I know put a resolution together and say, we're opting in. Right. And it doesn't seem like that's the way it's been going.
Well, that's not the way the law is written. You passively enter.
Right.
Or you actively opt out.
Right. But the town board could, in their own will, they could have made that statement by saying we're this is what we want to do by resolution in July.
And what that that might do then is
in a proactive sense,
right, of those people who want to locate somewhere in this area, and suddenly here's a town that says we're encouraging this instead of just we'll passively fall into it.
Correct.
I think the problem is the state's not given a lot of guidance either. They're still not sure how they're doing this or how they're doing that.
Right, and that
even as of January 1st, right?
Sure.
Well, we still don't know what we're doing. Still don't know what direction we're going in.
The state has communicated that they are desperately hoping that communities will make their decisions because there's a website that they would like the town, when it makes its decision, to enter their information. That allows this newly appointed board, which was just constituted
a month ago,
but they can't start developing what we need to have developed until the towns make the decision. So the decision comes on the 31st by FIA, right? Then they look at the data. It could be that Washington County has nothing, right? Greene County has 70%, and other places, or somewhere in between. They have to figure out how to do this. And God knows, we don't want it to look like the State Liquor Authority, so I'm actually optimistic about them taking their time to do it right. My understanding is they're going to follow the Colorado model and not the California model for some of the reasons that you mentioned. If they follow the Colorado model, it's fairly well done, and there's a lot of money out there. And the federal government has just introduced a bill where it will not potentially be a federal issue, which means now you can actually bank it and do the things you're supposed to be able to do with it as a currency instead of it being somewhat illegal at the federal level.
I mean, in defense of all the towns in New York, the information has come out slow. I was just looking, trying for a date on this. Is from the associations of towns, and that's one of our go-to organizations to help us when we need it, knowledge and attorneys and extra information. This doesn't have a date, but I can tell you, this wasn't out in February and it wasn't out in March. This might have shown up maybe in June, July, or something, or maybe even later, to be honest. Which, so you know, so it's compiled here, but some of those question and answers, like we were talking about, the opt-ins and the opts-outs, you know, if it wasn't stated in here, I wouldn't know. Sure. And that wasn't available early in the game.
The one other thing that whatever decision, if the decision is made to opt out, you can then take it to a permissive referendum by state law and have it be a referendum vote on whether to opt in or opt out. But there's a timeline that has to be done fairly quickly if that decision gets made. So.
Correct. That's a good point. I mean, so, right, and Crane's 100%. You know, if the town board acted and the general public decided that that wasn't something that they wanted, they could, through a referendum, they could push an actual vote from the general public. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my name is William Hawthorne. I live in Catskill, 5 miles up the road. I definitely think we should have these dispensaries and coffee shops. It takes it out of the back alleys and puts it on the street. Place, safe place to buy marijuana and take it home, or a safe place to use it if you have no other place to go. And it takes it out of the back alleys and it makes it safer. That's why I'm in favor of coffee shops. It worked in Amsterdam, as I experienced, and there was really no trouble. Everybody had a good time, and there were no problems with it all. So I definitely believe that coffee shops are the key to make it safe for usage, not just purchase it, but to use it also. And I agree with you, too. It's a good thing to do. But I think the town should go and specifically vote to do this, not just let it pass and it comes to us. We should take a proactive, and the town board should act on it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on the cannabis?
Hi, I'm the other Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm Sarah Hoover. I live in the town. And I want to second
Mr. Horthon.
Your comment that passive energy is enervating, but positive, proactive energy gathers people together and gives momentum and says, here we are, we want to do this, and I've been supporting dispensaries and cafes and going forward with this. So even though the law says we can just sit and let it pass, I think the town should take a positive, proactive stance and say, hello everyone, we're here, we're ready, come, please.
Green County.
Green County. Exit 21 on the New York State Thruway.
Change the exit number to 420.
If you can get the state to do it, let's do it.
Can I just thank you guys for opening this up for the public comment?
Yeah.
So that, you know, you heard from everybody and the people in the community, that, and I'm sure there are some folks that probably send emails. But,
yes.
This was a valuable discussion. I think we all learned something.
Now, the dialogue is definitely appreciated from everybody. We did get some emails, a few phone calls, but not, I would say.
Did.
Some?
We received 8 emails, 7 are for, and 1 is against.
Right, we got eight in total, and I got a couple of phone calls as well, so.
Great.
Okay. Plus, Councilman Giordano is completely on board.
Right. Jared, like I said, he's...
He sent an email.
He's on board with dispensaries and on-site lounges, cafes, or whatever. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Mr. Horthon, I grew up with you guys. I came up on the road.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah? I grew up in Main Street. Right, yeah.
Oh my God, get out of here.
Someday I'll stop and see your mother.
No.
Yeah.
We're working a little bit on that stuff near your place, though.
Nice.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Can you do something about Astoria Motor Court? Get those people to...
It's just sold.
Did it?
Sell? Really? Yeah.
To whom?
A resort out of...
Hate Maine, New Jersey.
Hate Maine. Big money.
Okay.
So there's a...
Yeah.
That sounds positive.
There's positive stuff on it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not all positive yet, but it's a...
It's going forward.
Better than what it
yes.
turned out to be.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah. There was a coyote there at 8:20 the other day.
We're still
morning.
Going.
Oh.
Sorry. Nice to meet you.
I didn't realize we're around.
Yeah.
Probably should have.
No, it's fine.
That's all right. See, that's where we're at here. Gonna regroup. So we got a couple of resolutions that we want to clear up as well tonight. I guess the first one we'll do is the... Zoning Board appointment, whereas the Zoning Board of Appeals is in need of an alternate member, and whereas Albert Gasparini submitted a letter of interest being a member of said board, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby appoint Albert Gasparini as an alternate member of the Zoning Board of Appeals, effective November 17th, 2021.
Motion.
Motion by Paul, seconded by Patrick. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. The next one we got from Audrey is about the certiorari from Home Depot, and they're making a settlement on that. And the one question I had before, I said I got to know, is there any retroactive?
Yeah, I didn't see anything in there, right?
No,
yeah, there's no retroactive.
Back to 2022.
Correct. Yeah. Right. So it's
and what was the decrease?
The decrease in evaluation on that was $664,266.
We got to put a stop to this.
Every 3 years? How?
Right. I mean, we're talking about, you know, bringing...
We can't afford to fight Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, Walgreens,
State's got
to
do something.
Chopper.
I just heard Vocal's something.
Trying to do a little something for us, wasn't she? Or on the you know, what is it, the dark store. But Audrey said what there was a little bit late coming to the game with that, too. But, we talked about it for probably a half hour today.
They make millions and millions and millions of dollars in profit. Yeah.
They sold a lot.
But then
they sold the stores clean.
They squeeze us for...
Right. I mean, $600,000. That's still
That's
five or six residential homes.
Go back and find out when the store opened, what it was assessed at then, and now what it's assessed at. How much has it gone down?
Right.
That's the right. And it is like clockwork. Every 3 years,
they're going to come back and come back. So anyway, we got whereas Home Depot development of Maryland Home Depot, the town of Catskill is desired to having a certain assessment issues resolved as a property owned by the Home Depot at 695 Route 23B, and whereas the settlement of proposal resolved pending tax certiorari litigation was recommended by Daniel Vinciletti, trial counsel for the town of Catskill, reviewed the town by the town of Catskill board, and whereas such proposed settlement would represent the parties with an expeditious and economic alternative to future litigation, so be resolved the issues between the parties, whereas the board has determined that the proposed settlement is in the best interest of the town. Now, therefore, we be resolved that town board hereby does accept a proposed settlement for the tax certiorari proceedings filed by the Home Depot, in which the 2021 assessment year shall remain unchanged, and resolved that the tax assessment roll of the town of Catskill for 2022, 2023, and 2024 assessment years will be set as followed. And again, just reading those notes. So the assessed value is $4,234 $4,234,714 for those few years. We need a motion to accept that settlement.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So they give us a proposal?
It's negotiated between
our lawyer,
the town attorney, and Home Depot's attorneys. The drug, as Patrick mentioned earlier in this situation, is I'm sure most corporation and realty companies have on-staff attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some research a couple of years ago on it. I only found one case, and it was up in Colony, and I don't know which mall, but Colony went toe-to-toe with them, and they actually succeeded. How much money they had to spend to get there, I don't know, but it has to be. You know,
if we looked at the amount of money that we're not getting by accepting what they give us, would we have to pay that much money in lawyer fees?
And then what ends up happening, if you it could be going on for a couple of years.
So then
what happens if you lose the case? Then you got to rebate the money that you didn't have, that you already had collected.
So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
And they know it.
Right. They have an attorney that this is all they do across the country.
Right. I mean, the book is kind of off. Any motion? I'll make a motion, Liz, that we accept it. Need a second? Seconded by Patrick. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Just as a note, Patrick's a little up on speed, but we've had trouble with a couple of locations or a location with lateral sewers and grinder pumps, more on South Jefferson Avenue.
Oh, 5355.
Yeah, 5355. So we are going to invoice that property owner because we had Bauman's in there and the village. So it was like 600. You know, so the town cost or the cost of the district would be $653.42. So. You know, we feel that it's a neglect item, so and lack of maintenance. So we're gonna build that customer out. Well, we talked about that. We'll look at letters. Canvas, we're done with. G Just the ARPA fund, I mean, I don't know if we're ready to really finalize that. We can wait until the first meeting in December to finalize the ARPA. The ARPA, which is a premium pay part for the American Rescue Plan, which targets workers who faced heightened risk during the due to the character of their work and such like that. So we do have a spreadsheet if we decided to go with what we have now. And again, we got time, I think, if we can wait so the board can review it again. Right now, we'd have a payout to our employees for the premium pay throughout the, you know, started as, you know, in the pandemic in 2020. We would pay out to our employees roughly $38,250. I did talk to the representative today, you know, because of the collective bargaining agreements. I thought probably wasn't a, I wanted to make sure that they were in agreement with it. I haven't talked to the highway union yet, but if you're giving something, I don't think there's, you know, normally a problem with that. But I mean, at least the methodology, you know, the, you know, how we got there, I thought, you know, because he did ask a few of those questions, but he was, you know, he was happy that we, that the town of Catskill board took into consideration that we wanted to offer premium pay or give premium pay to our employees. So that was a, that's a plus. But I think we should, we definitely got to, you know, finalize it. And I do believe we're on the right path as far as, because all our employees at Town Hall did have to come into work. It's not like they stayed home for 6 months, because their job did require them to be physically in the building for the most part. I mean, when everything locked out, just because we didn't know what that pandemic looked like when we closed, I mean, that was a little different situation. But that was only for a brief period of time. So, I mean, I think, like I said, I think we got a little more time just to review in case there's, unless you guys, unless you're ready. But I'm comfortable really, you know, waiting, you know, until December. And like I say, the pay period's in December. I think, but we have two more pay periods. Like, it was like the 12th, I think, and then one was Christmas. So it had to be like the 10th of December we could pay it out.
So it's the 10th and the 24th.
And the 24th. So we, you know, if our goal was to get it there before the holidays, we can still have it by December.
So what's the, what more needs to be considered?
I mean,
people are doing their Christmas shopping now.
It would be nice.
You know what I mean?
All right. I mean, if everybody's happy, if everybody's happy with what's on there, I mean, so we made a couple adjustments because we had, you know, a little bit of low workage in there and stuff like that. But again, once we pick that time frame, it is what it, you know, you can't, you know, I don't want to keep juggling on the time frame. Do you see that, Paul?
Yeah.
Just, so there was a few.
Are they going to be here?
I think if employees worked in the time frame, that's what it is. You still endured the pandemic. We got and I've had.
How do you pay an employee after they've left?
We in the Postal Service, we did it all the time. If it was a retroactive with the union contract and you got X amount of percentage or COLA,
but they're not a union employee.
It does,
so you can't even use that as an excuse.
But I mean, people that worked it. I mean, if you went through there,
that's my
thought. Right, I mean, I did send it to the ambulance administrator. We looked at a few of them.
How many people are on there that don't work for the town anymore?
Well, I would tell you
one, two,
or three or so.
There's about six.
I mean, one we're kind of worried. Retired people, absolutely. If you want to look at that, we got one.
So retired people are different than people who quit or resigned, in my opinion, if we were not going to give it to everybody. I mean, I'm retiring, and I'm on a union contract. It's not settled. So after I retire and it gets settled, I'm going to get retro pay. It's not a bonus, though. It's not a, this is like a gift.
But if you look, I mean, if we want to get into it, it's, you're really looking at the ARPA guidelines, and it's, you know, so you're really, you could look at it as a, I don't know if I want to call it a bonus, it could be a stipend. You know, it's really for work that transpired
during that time.
It's not like saying, hey, you did a great job, and all of a sudden we want to say, oh, you're going to get a bonus today because everybody did a great job. You know, it's really taking a look back to say what happened during this time frame.
And who was there?
And that's where, like, I believe, and there's different, I mean, we can pick another dates out of there. But I mean, the pandemic.
No, I'm just answering the question.
One number was January 27th. But, you know, and then, I mean, did the pandemic really hit hard in Catskill on January 27th? No. It really happened in March. So, I mean, if you really wanted to, if we wanted to look at it and postpone it, we can shift, you know, we can move that a month or a month and a half to get it into March, and then you're really into the pandemic. But the way I see it, still, is when we got into the fall of 2020, COVID cases were starting to get high again. Right before vaccines didn't happen, right. We were here probably in February or March when the first vaccine. So, you know, I'm okay with that time frame that we selected.
The time frame isn't right. My question.
You want people that are no longer on our rolls.
It's just a question.
Right. And I mean, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, certain people work for different sections where they may have had more time off because the systems were closed, but. I mean, I don't know how you.
All right, let's just get it done.
I mean, I'm okay with how it is. I mean, the only thing at times I thought about trying to put another level in there, but that gets, where do you draw the line with all that? It can get more complicated. But yeah, if you want to look at it, we got 1, 2 there, 3, and there's probably more.
What, that aren't here anymore?
Yeah.
I just counted 6.
I believe that. I got 1, 2, 3 at least. The boom, 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 boom. And right. But again, I mean, there's a couple of them in there that didn't really work at the height of the, when the pandemic was at its peak. But what are you going to do? I mean, it's never going to be perfect.
Sure.
That's mine.
I make a motion we pay the people.
I'll second it.
Second it by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion so carry. I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, they were there for us throughout the whole pandemic. You see, everybody came to work. They kept the doors open. They kept the town in business. Ambulance people answered the call, brought sick people. So it was a good effort by everybody, and greatly appreciated. With that, that's all I got for tonight, unless anybody has additional comments or...
The loader.
Sean stopped in today on that a little bit. Did he talk to you about it, Patrick?
Yep. I have.
John Deere. I said, can you say that again? He said John Deere.
Everybody loves a John Deere.
No, not our highway superintendent.
I hooked him up with my guy, and he gave him a deal he couldn't.
Go ahead. It's really on target of what we're
trying to.
Yeah.
I think in the end.
Yeah, I got it.
I can't open the document anymore. I just had it open.
157, I think, was the plot.
Yeah, they were giving us 31 for a trade in.
Right. And that was exactly what we thought we were.
That was higher than what we were thinking.
Yeah. On a script, on a
trade in value. Yep.
We budgeted around 30 for it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we were going to hit that.
But at least we know this is guaranteed. We're gonna, and it's coming right off the top of the price.
The link expired. Yeah. It must have been only good for a little bit.
Yeah, so I can't open it.
Can you reset, or it's done? Even if
it's
you send
done.
It, it's done.
You'd have to resend it.
Yeah.
Okay. So just general information right now, where we were going to vote on it.
I'd like to give them the okay to do it.
Right, because
it's on the floor.
There's not going to be any payment until
January.
After January anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
So he just needs to do the purchase order.
Did he send that to you? No?
He didn't send it
to
me.
He needs to sign the agreement, which is
hold it for 90 days. That'll hold it for 90 days.
And they have it in stock. I think if we went with CAT.
They can't give you a date.
They can't give us a date. And
I mean, I'm okay
with
that.
It's actually $5,000 less than what we budgeted for.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like right. We're close, but we're at least $2,000 to $5,000 under what we anticipated spending on it. So,
correct.
And it's in stock.
It's
so
in
we
stock.
Can get it. It's, and it's a job. It's a, of a good quality.
Correct.
So.
And we don't. Have
and
to
if
wait.
We don't buy it, somebody else might buy it off the
right.
floor, and then we're going to have to say how long is it going to take for us to find a loader.
We don't have to wait for us to get the money back from selling the old loader.
I like that a lot.
Right.
If we put that up on the auction, we have no idea what that would bring.
Right. It was a good trade, $31,000 for.
Right.
So you're passing a resolution to purchase the loader?
Yes. Well, I would say for Sean to sign the purchase order, because we're not technically purchasing it until after January. Does that matter?
No. No. But you're authorizing him to...
We're authorizing to agree with... motion to empty into okay. a contractual agreement with the
Nortrax of Clifton Park.
Okay.
For 158?
Or we could say not to exceed 160,000.
So to purchase a loader in 2022?
Yes, correct. Correct. Not to exceed 160,000.
Okay.
That covers it. Who made the motion? Paul?
I'll second.
Seconded by Patrick. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. I think that's a good thing. Just that would be. Yeah. I hate to see it go into the salt box right away, but at least we have. We're not going to. It's not going to break. Well,
so now we got to get a hold of Bank of Green County for the financing.
Okay. That's not a problem. Let's go and get the contract, then we can do the
right,
financing.
Because by the time they get done, it'll be January anyway.
Well, I think the positive of acting on that now is. Who knows where the interest rates are going to?
Actually,
you know.
Went down a little more. I know.
It shouldn't be doing that.
Well, inflation.
Right, right. But
inflation goes up, interest rates go down.
I think eventually, because if inflation gets too out of control,
right.
they're going to have to make an adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, down.
Yeah. Well, that's when they start speeding up the printing presses. Then, yeah, you're going to see the...
that means your money doesn't mean... All right, let's close this meeting down. Everybody else want to enough?
Sorry,
listen.
Let's...
You're fine.
Do we do an executive session?
Oh, if Ted over here...
I don't know. Do you want me to look and see if he's
Ted
still there?
We were going to do an executive session.
No, I think...
The village is gone, right? No, there's
still one. Really?
I haven't heard anything.
They might be an executive session.
This annoys me that link expires. That's weird.
I asked them to get that together with Wilson. I would get them pretty. You know, let's get these trees down at the Ricky Kramer Field.
I was off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, San Juan Island. Had a great time. Back to work day. Okay.
Jared's not here to do the motion.
Yeah, who's going to do the motion? Patrick,
motion
you got
to
step up.
Go into executive session to include the town attorney and the town clerk for personnel issues.
No business will be conducted.
No business will be conducted afterwards.
Motion.
Right.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried.